The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the new manager of the Chicago White Sox is Tony La Russa. This has been talked about for the last 3 weeks. It has happened. The press conference coming up at 2:30. We will carry that live. We're piecing together some information based on some of the reports. According to Bob Nightingale, the Sox did not even talk to A.J. Hinch. That's just my response to the last caller is, you sit down and talk to him. Even if you decide not to hire him, I mean, conduct the process. Find out stuff. You may find out stuff about your team that you didn't know based on what A.J. Hinch has to tell you.
Pick a brain.
Yeah, pick a brain for being out of baseball. The Sox, according to Nightingale, did talk to Willie Harris. Willie Harris, the former world champion White Sox, is now with the Reds, I believe, as their base running coordinator.
We're stealing our coaches. I know. Listen, I mean, we've got a good thing going in the Queen City. Stop it. By the way, will there be a 10-game broadcast package where Hawkeroo does some of the games?
That fires them all over again?
That's what they're selling to season tickets. You can buy a season ticket holder. They used to have the Aussie plan. Now you can get the Hawk
plan.
How about this? Hawk does
a broadcast that you subscribe to. And you can hear it on your headset while you're at the ball game. That's the only way you get it.
And he just curses Tony La Russa out.
It's 10 games. Your seat moves around.
Yes.
Sometimes it's in the dugout because you have to check on players. And sometimes it's back up by the broadcast booth. And
it's called the Hawkeroo package.
You get two free Smirnoffs with each game.
There you go. The little bottles,
bottles. Exactly. Yeah.
It's called La Hawkeroo.
Spit take. Did that go up your nose? I think it went up his nose.
It went in my eye because I spit it out into my glass and it ricocheted from the bottom of the glass and into my eyeball.
Boy, if anyone knows how bad it is to get in your eye, it's you. By the way,
what does that mean?
One more nugget.
What does that mean? No, wait a second.
Jeff Passan, you're like Mike Nolan. You get Tabasco sauce in your eye every now and then.
All right. I'll figure this out before six.
Jeff Passan tweeted out earlier, the hiring of Tony La Russa has ruffled feathers in the White Sox organization. A number of employees have concerns about his ability to connect with younger players and how he will adapt to the field after being away for 9 years. This was a Jerry Reinsdorf decision. Simple as that.
Yeah, I fully believe that. Please remind me, I don't know. This is from a position of ignorance. Was Tony La Russa, he managed a while ago. What was the analytics landscape back when he was last managing? Was Tony known for doing things that other teams had not?
Well, Ryan Terrio, who played for the Cardinals in his last year with the Cardinals, this is why it will be good. Ryan Terrio only played one season with the Cardinals, but it was La Russa's last year. So he will have the best scouting report, is going to be joining us in the second half of the show, somewhere around 4 or 4:30. So he could give you a thought there. And then I tweeted out a poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. How do you feel about the White Sox hiring of Tony La Russa to be their manager? We've had nearly 4,000 votes already in less than an hour, and 88% of the people say it's a bad move. Good move, bad move. 88% say it's bad. Let's talk to our friend and teammate Jonathan Hood right now. It's a cap and a hoodie every morning, 7 to 10. Right here on ESPN 1000. Good move or bad move, as Hoodie joins us on the Corona Hotline.
Well, I didn't know I'd have to open the crown so early. Usually that's early evening for me when you guys get off the air around 6, but clearly I have to crack it open early.
Welcome to my world.
I mean, that's during the show, right?
That's right.
I just, it's just not the time, Sylvie, for nostalgia, right? You're trying to right a wrong if you're Jerry Reinsdorf. You didn't feel like at the time that Tony La Russa should have been let go. Okay, so just because you're friends with him doesn't mean that this is the time to right a wrong. One thing for sure that this move tells me, if we are wondering if Jerry Reinsdorf is kind of going into the background and you know, kind of going into retirement at some point. You know for sure that he's the boss. The boss is still on the south side based on this move today.
And how do you feel about, like, with that in mind, Jonathan, how do you feel about where Rick Hahn is right now? I love what Rick Hahn has done, but how do you feel that Rick Hahn will respond to this? We heard from him. There was a press release. But ultimately, this can't be sitting well with him, can it?
Well, no. Well, this will be the first time in a Zoom call that we'll know he's lying. This will be the first time because I didn't know that before. Like, Rick's usually a straight shooter, long talker. He's great with it, you know, his explanations when it comes to the White Sox, Tom. But today will be the first time that we know that Rick's lying. Because I'm sure that one of the questions that would be posed to him is this your hire as a general manager? And he'll say, you know, we talked about it and we feel that this is the right way to go. I'm sure Rick doesn't feel that way. I'm sure Rick looked at A.J. Hinch, looked at a number of other candidates, Sandy Alomar probably, even going to the route of someone who's not disciplined or is not, you know, experienced like A.J. Pierzynski. Those are names that resonate with me more so than the guy. It has a resume for sure, but my concern is, does he relate to today's players? Not baseball. Clearly, Tommy knows baseball.
Right.
But the point is, like, here is a baseball era now in which the bat flip is in vogue and excitement, as we saw in the World Series. I want my baseball to look like the World Baseball Classic with all that excitement and stuff. Can La Russa handle that in 2021?
I wanted Aloy to take what he does a step further. I was calling for baseball pasties. Just take the jersey off and just put, like, stickable numbers on your back and your front. That's all gone now. Everyone's going to have to wear the jerseys all buttoned up, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like you love a young, loose ball club as long as they're winning, right?
Yeah.
You don't want an undisciplined ball club, but you want to have fun while you're winning. And one thing we saw under Renteria is that team was loose and really playing for one another, which I really like. And I like baseball when it looks like that. But I don't want, you know, 9 soldiers out there doing what La Russa wants, because if you go back to the A's and the St. Louis Cardinals, yeah, they played the game, quote-unquote, the right way. Yeah, they were successful teams. But I just don't want the Sox to lose that joy because it does not line up to La Russa and what he likes as a manager. You know, there's positives with this. Clearly, he's got the experience. Here's a guy here that has a feel more so than analytics when it comes to being a manager. But the negatives are is that I don't think that the general manager is generally managing this move. This is not Rick's move. This is Jerry Reinsdorf with all the feels and the nostalgia of what happened in 1983. And I remember, and Sylvie remembers this as a kid too, that the Sox set the city on fire for that 1 year. But that was 83. I mean, that, and so here we are in 2020. Yeah, the guy can manage, but can he be able to get through the players one, and will the players respond to La Russa? Will they treat him like, hey, you know what, this guy has been there and done that, or will they say, who's this old man in the room with the suspiciously dark hair?
Right, right. by the way, like, that's what I don't get, Hoodie, and I worry because Rick Hahn is so good at his job that the Bulls just hired Arturis Karnishevas, okay? And he was from the outside, and Michael's running the show, and maybe that's the difference. And the Bulls gave him total autonomy, so he got rid of Boylan, and he hired Billy Donovan, another outsider, a guy that would seem like he could fit perfect with the job. So why is Rick Hahn, who's worked for this team for 15, 20 years, who's shown you in the last 3 when he's got autonomy, when he rebuilds it his way, why are they taking the bat and ball out of his hands and then putting it back in the ownership hands like they used to run things?
Well, that because it's Jerry's call. You know that's not Kenny's call. Kenny wouldn't want La Russa around. And, you know, Rick would probably look at Hinch or someone else. And by the way, those other modern choices, Sylvie, are not necessarily the answer. You hope it's the answer. I think anything that that you have now as far as a successful guy in that spot can be better than Renteria. But just the whole thing is that I equate this to other managers or other coaches throwing Ditka back on the sidelines or having Phil Jackson coach a middle-of-the-road Nugget team. How does that work? I mean, listen, I know it's baseball, it's a different sport, but just understand, like, the knowledge is there, but I'm just concerned about the relationship that he has. Yes, I know that La Russa speaks Spanish, and I guess that is something that Reinsdorf looks at, But I'm just not buying the nostalgia higher. That's all. Now, here's the thing. It could turn around. We're in 2 or 3 years of Sox during the World Series, and La Russa is part of that, and that'd be great. I'm just saying that on the surface, my choice would have been something younger. La Russa, he wants to be in there? That's fine. But here's the thing that I'm going to really get on the Sox about. In 3 years or 4 years, if La Russa's still here, and you're still first round and out, treading water, or going backwards as a franchise with this young team, that's going to really disappoint me, because the window's open for this team to have perennial success, sustained success. And if La Russa is a detriment to that, that's going to bother me.
Are we premature in some ways right now in terms of just suggesting that there's no way that he'll identify with the younger, the swagger that this team plays with and the energy? I mean, he was on the top step for the Bash Brothers, right? I mean, is there any dots that you can connect there and say maybe he will allow some of this to happen and he won't be the guy that throws the wet blanket on the fire?
Ladies and gentlemen, La Russa, top stepper. And that's the key right there, Tom. He was a top step guy with the Bash Brothers. I like that.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, like, he oversaw an arrow. I mean, that was a team that had swagger and flash, didn't they?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say so. Like I said, I understand, Tom, what he brings as a manager. I heard the Graham Benzinger clip that has been out for the last couple of months or so, and how he looks at analytics and how he looks at, managing from the gut. Well, you know, if he can bring a little of both of that, that's fine. But But again, here's the test, Tom. When he gets in there, you know how Tim is. Tim Anderson will get out there, and he's going to feel like he's going to have a hold of one.
Right.
Hits a home run, flips the bat. How does the Roos respond to that? Is he good with that? But that'll be the test, right? Yeah. That'll be the ultimate test.
Yeah. Hoodie, great stuff. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks, great work.
Who's going to be in charge of the big stick to keep La Russa awake? Let's get that going on one of them. So let's find that out, for God's sake.
Your partner, I think, is going to be loving this tomorrow, so keep him in line, all right?
That's within my contract.
There you go. There's Jonathan Hood every morning, 7 to 10, right here on ESPN 1000. We'll take your calls coming back, and we're airing the press conference live at 2:30.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Sox fans, Tony La Russa is your new manager. The press conference in 10 minutes. We'll have it live right here on ESPN 1000. Let's take a couple quick calls. Alex in Aurora, you're on ESPN 1000. Alex, what do you think of the move?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the move personally. I think it was kind of stupid. I think it's going to deter from the swagger of the team. And I don't know. I think Rick Hahn should have been in charge of deciding who was going to be the next coach.
And that will be the most interesting, Waddle, right? Where how I much so. Rick Hahn spins it, because as Jerry released in his press release, he went above and beyond to say this wasn't a friendship move, this was hiring the best manager move with a chance to win it. We'll see how adamant Rick Hahn is, because people are going to ask him, Rick, you said a recent playoff success, recent championship success, 10 years is not recent. So how will he spin that? That will be one of the keys. Mike on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
All right, I'm going to talk fast. There's a lot to unpack. You know, they tried to hire years ago Doug Collins, who'd been out for a while. Again, another friend of Jerry Reinsdorf's. That didn't work. But look at the parallel here to the Paxton Bulls and the White Sox facility, which you've been getting at. Paxton was actually the perfect guy for Reinsdorf. He's Reinsdorf, but thinks he knows basketball. He was awful with the Thibodeau firing. Paxton did everything wrong and yet kept giving press conferences like he'd won his own titles. Now you look across to the South Side with the baseball. Reinsdorf is a baseball guy. He's always said that. He's really the president of baseball. He always has been. And maybe he knows a little. He's been around all these experts. But this is Reinsdorf as president of the White Sox hiring who he wants. Same thing when Paxton, the whole thing. This is a very tight group. When you said, why do they not bring in interview people? Why don't they get other perspectives and ideas? You hit the nail on the head. They don't want them. they don't think they need them. They're not interested. And keep this last thing in mind. Just like similar to the Bulls, where they banked a fortune while never going into the salary cap, a fortune. In this case, they've gone through multiple rebuilds. They finally may have gotten one right. But never once did Major League Baseball say the product's bad all these years. We're not going to give you the money. They took all this in. So they're really not suffering. The only reason they changed the Bulls was because it was a joke. No one was coming to the stadium. Nothing's going to change here if fans keep coming to watch La Russa coach this, really, the president of baseball, Reinsdorf's team.
Yeah, Mike, thanks.
I think if you win, people will show up.
Yeah, and they may still win, and Tony may adapt. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. I don't love the process. I don't like the reasons.
Yeah, I agree with
you. I don't like that you take the ball out of Rick Hahn's hands.
Yep.
That's my most – if I were a Sox fan, that's my most concerning thing. Is that he's done great work. Really quick, Alex and Wheeling, then we got to get to the press conference. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys, this whole hiring gives me like a 90s family movie kind of vibe where you bring in La Russa so the young kids can kind of teach him some new stuff.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, and he's there to kind of show them to enjoy the time while it's there before they get too old and don't realize what's going on. And I think it's going to set up for a really good movie if they end up winning. You could definitely cast a few people. Like Billy Crystal could play Jerry. Tim Allen could play La Russa. You get Tyrese Gibson for Tim Anderson. I'm still working on Eloy and Jose Abreu. But
okay. And by the way, I like that.
Yeah, and by the way, you can get the press conference on Sports Phone here in about 10
Alex
minutes.
Alex has a good point because it's not about what Tony La Russa teaches the kids. It's about what the kids teach Tony La Russa.
That's so good. Alex, that was a great call. Thank you. 332-3776. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the press conference as soon as we come back live. What is the explanation going to be? How's Rick Hahn going to frame this thing? What is Tony La Russa going to say about adapting? Tony La Russa is your new manager. You hear from the White Sox in their live press conference coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we'll be going to the press conference here shortly. Obviously, it's not the traditional way. We're still Zooming all press conferences and such. So, La Russa, I would think it's going to be Rick Hahn. We'll see what he says about this. Goes against what he said when what they were looking for, recent World Series experience 10 years ago, is not recent.
I do feel comfortable that he's not going to send Carlos Rodon or someone in a similar situation in as a reliever going forward. So, from a baseball perspective, I think in a lot of ways you'll be more comfortable with La Russa.
And look, if they're hoisting the trophy and if he's hoisting the trophy with them, and they will obviously have the last laugh and they will tell everyone we told you so.
Right.
You know, but I still don't think they did the process the right way.
Yeah,
I think they're hiring him for the right reason.
I think you make a really good point. It seems once again like there was no real interview process or was obviously not an extensive interview process. So.
Yes, or and then you're undermined. And what I want to see, and I would expect him to be adamant. Now, Carmen thinks he's going to be lying. That's what Hoodie said, too. We'll see how he spins this, because many, many people truly don't believe, no matter what Hahn says here next, and just yell at me, guys, when the press conference is ready to start, we're carrying it live, that we don't believe that this was a Rick Hahn decision, especially with what Jeff Passan is reporting. So, I mean, do you want to undercut your general manager who's built this? What does that say?
Yeah, it's...
You know, I know a president's job opening on the north side of town where you can have full autonomy to build a team. Think about that.
No, you're right. There's no doubt. I'm sure that, you know, this is probably a difficult situation in some ways for Rick Hahn. But there's no doubt that also in my mind that as many have said, this was a Jerry Reinsdorf decision. What's Rick to do?
Well, he could go elsewhere.
He could, but you know, he is the one who put this young team together and they've yet to get to the top of that mountain. Are you going to, like, if they had some pelts on the wall already, maybe that I think would have been, that might be a legitimate option. But now I don't think, even though he, you know, it appears he has been undermined with regard to the hiring of the manager, I wouldn't think Rick would want to leave this organization now because of all of the great work he's done.
Why would you want to stay in an organization? Now, maybe he wasn't undermined. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
But why would you want to? Even if you built the team, you want to run your team. You don't want anyone to. This is a big decision. Hiring the manager is a big decision.
Like I said, how long has Rick been on the job?
Well, he's been in various for a couple decades now. He's been there for like 20 years as under Kenny.
Right, but how long has he been the guy making all the majority, if not all, of the personnel decisions?
That goes. It's tough to say. He's been the GM since what? Is it 2015? Maybe a little earlier than that.
I'm just saying to you, I think it's less likely that he would say, hey, listen, I've been undermined and walk away. And again, all hypothetically.
What if you get recruited by another team?
Yeah, it may be enticing, but the group he has put together is pretty damn exciting and special. And I could see why, even though this does not feel good right now, why he would want to see, you know, be able to recognize the fruits of his labor. It's a tough spot. I feel, you know, like if in fact, maybe we'll find out or we'll, you know, we'll get insight that Rick was all on board with this. It doesn't sound like it from the press conference he had when they let Ricky Renteria go. It's hard to connect those dots between that press conference and the hiring of Tony La Russa, but we may find out differently. But it's a tough spot for him, I would think.
Man, did he do some good work.
Oh, I mean, that's my point. He's been fantastic.
You know, and like the Adam Eaton deal, when you get Giolito and Dunning, I think it was.
That's
and,
my point. Like, you want to see this. Like, he leaves, again, speculative. He leaves, and then this team wins a World Series, and you're like, oh, that was really cool for them over there. I wish I was there for that. I mean, like, this team's got a chance to really win and win big now.
Win big. The window is just opening. It is just opening. And we're waiting for the Tony La Russa press conference to begin, and then we'll take your phone calls. And, again, I would expect that Rick Hahn is going to be up at that podium with a happy face on and do what Jerry
team
did
player.
In the press release and say, this is who I wanted as well. This is always a collaborative issue, and we all have voices here. It's the way it's always been with Jerry, with Kenny, and with me. You know, and we sat down and we went through a process and we hired it. Now, like Carmen said, Carmen's the diehard Sox fan. Carmen said he will go to his grave believing that this was not a Rick Hahn move.
Yeah, I agree with Carmen.
So we'll see what he says. 312-332-3776.
It's not hard to read those tea leaves, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, that it's an easy connection, but it kind of is, isn't it? I mean, after you heard what Rick Hahn had to say when they got rid of Ricky, I mean, this isn't kind of the outcome that you were expecting after hearing what he had to say.
No, it's like they gave you a roadmap to a guy who's been out of baseball or doesn't have a job here. Like, when you describe recent World Series success, managerial experience, there's only a couple of guys that fit that. It's Cora and it's Hinch. Because otherwise, you usually have a job if you have recent World Series managing experience. You know, Bochy's, it's been a while since Bochy, too. Bochy's name's been brought up. But Bochy's last run was 14.
Yeah.
10, 12, 14. 6 years is a long time. 10 years is way longer. And yes, there were analytics back then. And you know, Bill James was doing his thing, and the Red Sox were doing their thing when they won in 2004. And Billy Beane was doing his thing back in, what, 2000, 2001.
Didn't seem like either Carmore or Jay Hood were in the table-flipping mode, though. You know, I mean, I think they handled the news very calmly.
Because
I think that's because they had time for it to marinate.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? Like, if this came out of nowhere, like if there were no reports about La Russa, and all of a sudden today we just get the tweet from the White Sox that says, hey, guess what? La Russa's our manager.
Oh, there's no doubt. Carmen's temperature was much higher and, you know, was more in the boiling stage. It seems like he's simmering now.
That table would be flipped.
Yeah.
I think because all the people who originally said, I'm out if they hire Tony La Russa, you forget to look at the roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this you don't want to be like, out on this team.
Yeah, this is not some mediocre Sox team with a kid in the clubhouse again in Drake LaRoche.
Listen, like one of our texters sent us, our tweeters said, hey, listen, Jerry's got a good relationship probably with Terry Bevington as well. So if he was going to choose one of his former managers who he's got a good relationship with, you're better off with Tony La Russa than you were somebody else.
They chose not to go back down the Ozzy thing. Remember how much they went out of their way to say, we're not going back to Ozzy, but they did go back to someone from a long, long time ago. By the way, they had Hawk on today on Cap and Jay Hood, and he would not explain why he fired Tony La Russa. He said that will be, it sounded cryptic, and the guys alluded to it. It said that it will remain between the two of us, which makes it sound odd. Like, I know they weren't winning and everything like that, but it just made it sound weird.
That whole era was pre-me coming to Chicago. When was all that? Was in 86, 87?
Yeah, so to give you a little history, like, I grew up, you know, a Cubs fan, of course. But the first team in this town that I truly saw win, if I'm not counting the Chicago Sting, the soccer team, they had a championship parade at one time in 80 or 81. And they were pretty big in this town. But the true of the five major teams, the first time in my lifetime being born in 71 that a team had won were the 83 White Sox. And that was this fun, exciting team. Tony La Russa, young manager of that team, you know, and Luzinski and Baines. And
were they wearing shorts?
No, that was in the late 70s when they wore this was the red, white, and blue uniforms, you know, and Carlton Fisk. Lamar Hoyt was the Cy Young Award winner, and it was a fun, amazing team. Julio Cruz and they lost to the Orioles in the ALCS. So, like, that, they had won for the first time any Chicago team had won. Then in 85 or 84, things didn't go as well. Then they lost again in 85, and they weren't really a good team. And so Hawk gets this GM job. And remember, he was the broadcaster before that, and he fires Tony La Russa because they were losing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he went speculated. So, you know, to move on, and he goes to Oakland and he wins big. And Tony or Jerry Reinsdorf, it goes, reached out to Oakland because he wanted a landing spot for his friend. And then look at the juggernaut that Oakland ended up having. You know, they lost to your Reds, but they did win a World Series there.
You didn't want any piece of that Reds team.
No, they were good. No.
By the way, I don't think Tony has figured out Zoom right now. I think we're still
waiting. You think that's the delay?
That's going around Twitter. Excuse me.
Wow.
Piece of hot sauce stuck in my throat.
Is it there's more developing information on that as well.
Oh, really?
Okay. Do you guys think it's the Zoom situation, or is it AOL desktop at home? Is it tough to get Zoom going?
Well, it is for me because, yes, I can't actually get Zoom on my computer because of it's too old. Maybe right now they're trying to console Rick Hahn. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Please. Please, Rick, don't leave us.
Put on a good face for us, please.
Rick Hahn's got two opening statements, and he's just looking at which one he should go with.
This is a travesty that they didn't allow me to finish my job. I built this team, and it was time for me to hire my manager, and they put me with an old guy who
has... I am right saying that he did win the Executive of the Year award with Major League Baseball, didn't he?
He did, yes, he did.
And deservedly so.
Look at the 3 years. Yeah, look at these. You trade Chris Sale and you get Moncada. You know, like he landed on his feet with the Cubs deal. When you look back on it, with Aloy for Quintana, and we'll see if Cease turns up. But it's still a win, even if Aloy is doing what he's doing.
I was going to make a nap time joke as well, but I'm not going to. I think that's going overboard.
Still hasn't woken up.
No, I didn't say that. You said that. You're responsible for that.
He needs his warm milk.
You stop it. You stop it.
They're going to need it.
As the oldest guy here, Cap's older than me.
Yeah, but if they hired that 30-year-old guy, I'd be making TikTok jokes and stuff like that,
too. Yeah, you probably would.
This coach, now, I don't even know if it's confirmed. Carmen was saying this coach in their system, who used to be one of their players, started managing for them when he was 27. He's 30 right now. He may be on the bench and maybe a manager in waiting. 30 years old. And I look, you average out their age, and then you got a guy who's right there at prime managerial age of like 56 or 57.
How many managers in Major League Baseball now do you speculate actually fill out on their own without any help from the front office or any magical computers or analytics?
Oh, zero.
How many fill out the everyday lineup? None?
Zero.
So you have to believe that Tony La Russa, despite how he did it back in 2000 and what was it, 11?
11, yeah.
Without trying to be funny, like, is he going to do this on his own, or is he going to use the same type of process that most all managers, if all of them are doing it that way? Is Dusty doing that now with the Astros?
All right, we're going to go to it. Okay. Rick Hahn is going to address everyone on Zoom now.
Here we go, Tony La Russa.
At this time.
Great. Thanks, Ray, and thanks, everyone, for being here today. This day, I think, needs to be about Tony La Russa and the organization welcoming back to where it all started, welcoming a Hall of Famer back to where it all started. So my comments are going to be brief. I'm going to try to hit on a couple of anticipated questions up front, so that we can then turn the focus to Tony, where it rightfully belongs today. We've spent a lot of time over the last few years talking about where we are in this rebuild and phases and, transitioning from phase one to phase two to phase three. And I think it's important for all of us to note that this hiring today is another indication that we've moved on to that most exciting stage, and that is the one about competing for championships. Thanks to the hard work of our scouts, our player development people, the front office, our analytics group, clubhouse staff, everyone involved, we're on the precipice here of a potentially exciting run and exciting era in White Sox history. Thanks to the players and the clubhouse staff, we have a dynamic, fun, exciting team that's hungry after getting an initial taste of postseason baseball to move on to that next stage. And thanks to the fans' support and patience over the last few years, there's a great deal of excitement in the city right now and anticipation about what comes next. Considering all that, it was clear that this next hire as manager needed to be someone who was capable of taking us to that next level. Quite frankly, as we talked a couple of 3 weeks ago when we initiated this process, this obviously played out a little differently than I initially described I thought it would for all of you. When we discovered, when Tony was receptive to Jerry's original overtures about potentially coming back and taking this position, that changed the focus. I will say there were far more names considered, discussed, vetted, even interviewed than have been discussed publicly. I'm actually good with that because, as we said a few weeks back when we talked about this search, I'm not real keen on having names of those who don't get the job out there publicly. That's up to them if they want to disclose that. But it was a broader endeavor than what's been at least leaked out to the media. But once it became clear that Tony was very much open to this possibility, the process did change and the focus became making sure we could figure out a way to make it work with Tony. As for the ultimate decision about how this takes place, or I should say the ultimate decision about going with Tony, you've heard me say over the last several years on major decisions that it's about consensus, that it's a conversation between the chairman, Kenny, and myself. And ultimately, we come to a conclusion together. You know, quite frankly, sometimes it's it moves along more quickly, like when we talk about making the commitment necessary to sign a guy like Luis Robert. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, like it perhaps does when you're deciding the right time to pivot to a rebuild, as we did a few years back. But the one thing that's consistent is that in the end, when the decision is made, we all are fully committed to making this everything work in the best interest of the White Sox. And everyone's on the same page when that final decision is made. And as you know, someone who was in the room discussing that decision, I can tell you that this was made with the intent solely on putting us in the best position to win championships. It's obvious or easy to fall back on some old narratives that this was about friendship or potentially righting old wrongs or something like that. In the end, Tony was the choice because it's believed that Tony is the best man to take us help us win championships over the next several years and usher us into what we expect to be a very exciting phase for White Sox baseball. Part of my job as general manager is try to explain those thoughts to the fans and to the media. But I don't want to belabor that too much today. Instead, I'll pivot to another one of my responsibilities as GM, and that is to welcome home, welcome back to the organization, Hall of Famer Tony La Russa, next manager of the Chicago White Sox. Tony, welcome.
Thank you, Rick. I am really excited to be here today. I know enough people are asking why. And I think there's two answers, at least two major answers. One is during the last bunch of years that I've been upstairs, whether it be for MLB or the D-backs, Angels, or Red Sox, it was a wonderful opportunity to stay close to the game, watch the game from upstairs. It was very difficult, increasingly so, to sit there and think about what's going on downstairs. You know, when you're an advisor, it's something I enjoyed, but I always had this thought, man, it's more fun it's more fun downstairs. I did get a fresh opinion, observation point for how difficult front office work is. I got better feel for scouting and player development, all that thing, but my heart was always in the dugout. And to that, when the first inquiry was made about the White Sox, I perked up because being frustrated being upstairs, but more particularly, I think all managers would understand this. I think everybody would understand this, how rare it is to get an opportunity to manage a team that's this talented and this close to winning. Most of the time your chances are the opposite. So the combination of looking forward to getting back down there and checking myself, you know, to have the energy and all that stuff, and the White Sox making the call with a chance to win sooner rather than later. I'm excited that they made that choice and looking forward to what's ahead.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate your opening remarks. We've got a lot of questions, obviously, in the queue. So as we said, please keep your hands raised and raise your hand, but also please identify who you're asking your question to, whether it's of Rick or whether it's of Tony. So we're going to go ahead and open up the questions now. The first question is from Scott Merkin of MLB.com. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Tony, how long did it take you to figure out you wanted to do this once you were approached about the White Sox job? And what kind of adjustments do you see, even though you've been involved in the game, what kind of adjustments do you see that will need to be made in your repertoire from when you managed last to now?
I think as far as the timing, I was surprised when I first got the call. And the second conversation, I had thought about it more and had my reservations based on why I had retired after 2011. and was challenged about those reservations. And the more I thought about it, and this is like the next day or two, I seriously thought, you know, if you put exactly what I mentioned before, being upstairs for, you know, with 9 years watching the game closely, it was, I've described to my friends as torture, because you're seeing it and you can't do anything about it. Soon thereafter, I realized I was either going to have to stop complaining about being upstairs or go downstairs. And if you're going to go downstairs and you have an opportunity like you have with the White Sox, that's when it got serious. And now, what do I expect to change? I think the more you think it changes, the more it stays the same. You know, I watch closely all the postseason. Primarily, it's our team against their team. There's a score. I do think the question that's asked most often is the wealth of information that helps you prepare. And I embrace it. I know our coaching staff will. I think people that watched our clubs the years that I managed know that we were always information seekers. How that factors into game decisions, I think you take the value of that information and maybe have a better chance to put players in a position to succeed. And going to be open about that, but I do know that, and I think I have a good experience at this in the sense that once a game starts, it's a very volatile experience. Players, not machines, how they vary, how the game may be changing within innings, much less series, game to series. That's why I think it's more important. It's very important that you know, we use the term observational analytics. Once you got all that preparation, you got to watch the game and be ready. So I think the difference is the preparation will be better. Looking forward to it. But the actual game decision making will be much like what I learned. You know, you watch the game and figure out how to put people in a position to win.
Next question is James Fegan from The Athletic.
Tony, in the past, you have expressed your disagreement with players kneeling for the anthem and protest, and the start of this season, five of the players that you'll be managing going forward kneeled for the anthem. How do you kind of see like you would be able to navigate that disagreement and still build a relationship of respect and trust with the players you're taking over with?
Well, it's a good question. I like the way you ended, build a relationship, because that's what the first priority every year is for staff and I, to build a relationship of respect and trust with the team. And you want to get that family feeling. I know in 2016, when the first issue occurred, my initial instincts were all about, you know, respecting the flag and the anthem and what America stands for. There's been a lot goes on in a very healthy way since 2016. And not only do I respect, but I applaud the awareness that's come into not just society, but especially in sports. If you talk about specifically baseball, I applaud and would support the fact that they are now addressing, identifying the injustices, especially on the racial side. And as long as it's peacefully protested and sincere, and what I'm learning more and more, like with the Players Alliance, and especially with the White Sox, when your protests actually have action-oriented results, way that you're going to impact to make things better, I'm all for it. At the same time, you know, I do believe if you check White Sox, A's, and the Cardinals, I can name you, at least, you know, the White Sox, whether it was Chet Lemon or Junior Moore or Harold Baines, and you go to the A's with Dave Stewart, Dave Henderson, Ricky Henderson, Dave Parker. You go to St. Louis with Ray Lanford, Brian Jordan, Reggie Sanders. I mean, I'll take my chance if you talk to any one of those people. There's not a racist bone in my body. I do not like injustice. And I would support exactly what I mentioned. Anything that's peacefully done and sincerely thought of, and especially with an action at the end of it, will not be a problem.
Next question is from Vinny Duber of NBC Sports Chicago.
Tony, in a similar vein there, that's the important stuff that James was talking about. But in the last 9 years, obviously, we've seen players kind of grow in the way they like to express themselves on the field and have fun, you know, be it bat flips or celebrations of any kind. The White Sox obviously have a guy in Tim Anderson who's been at the forefront of that. What is your approach to kind of letting those guys show their personalities on the field?
Well, that's changed. I can remember when Carlton Fisk, challenged Deion Sanders, I do believe at the basis that sportsmanship is important, respect for the game and your opponents. I do believe in that, you don't run up a score, things like that. But here's what I see difference. Every year, and this has been going on for a while, even went on when I was managing, there's more and more attention being paid to who does good and who does bad in the game. I mean, you don't do anything right or wrong in a clutch moment that you don't get celebrated for or criticized for. So I've seen how that has impacted players emotionally. A great example was Eck all those years when he had that very expressive fist pump when he got the third out. That's a lot like what you see today. And I always reasoned it that if it's sincere, I didn't have a problem with it. And what I see now is that with players that are being more exuberant, I take, Tim Anderson for an example. Now it's people showing that, hey, I'm coming through. In fact, Major League Baseball is encouraging them to do so. And if I see that it's sincere and it's directed towards the game, that's displaying the kind of emotion that you want. As a coach, what you want to do is you want to get players passionately involved with the competition. And if you do that, that's how you get exciting games, you're entertaining. So the fact that now that we're encouraging players to be more expressive, I'm going to treat like Tim, for example, part of the family. And the only thing I say, and even some of the people I talk to, if your team celebrates and that their team celebrates, then neither team can be upset when you see celebrations, as long as everybody's doing it sincerely.
Next question, also from NBC Sports Chicago, Adam Hoge.
Hey, Tony, how much were these conversations that, we're asking you now brought up in the interview process and addressed? And have you had a chance to talk to Tim Anderson at all? If not, how do you plan on going about that in the future here?
No, I have not talked to any White Sox player. Once this thing got serious, had numerous conversations with Rick, Kenny Williams. In fact, we had more with Kenny and Rick after it got started than with Jerry. And in depth, everything, what it was about, how you manage, what you think applies. But since family is so important and the culture is so important, the issues that we just discussed in these last two calls, whether it's my feeling on, protesting racial injustice, or whether it's celebrating something that you've accomplished on the field. We discussed that at length, and you heard from me how I feel about it, and I think that the organization feels that I'll be sensitive